lot of people who have now signed up and are signing contracts to be like reps and affiliates and all that stuff. But it, and it's true. Like, one of the universities that was trying it out, all of their running backs are now starting to use it. And it's
I'm
one
not
of the
surprised. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a weird thing, right? So after I developed it, I had just finished working out and I was like super, super winded. And I have never had this experience from anything else. And I've tried like hiking in Colorado and using one of those little oxygen bottles because I thought that might help because I'm from a low elevation. I was suddenly in Boulder and I was going to go hiking and I was completely dying. And so I got one of those little oxygen canisters and didn't do much, right? But I had just finished working out and I was completely winded and I had a can of this stuff and I cracked it open and I really wasn't expecting this to happen. It was weird. I downed the can and I was panting. I mean, I was so winded. I was like, and then in the middle, literally in the middle of a breath, I went, and I was no longer winded. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Wow. Experience the groundbreaking advancements of Leela's quantum technology, now backed by over 40 placebo-controlled studies conducted by elite institutions and renowned universities worldwide. This revolutionary technology surpasses previous achievements, as confirmed by prestigious organizations such as the Emoto Institute in Japan. Scientific investigations reveal that Leela's technology not only enhances blood health and circulation, but also neutralizes the adverse effects of electromagnetic fields, expedites wound healing, and elevates ATP production in human cells. Embrace the extraordinary benefits of Leela's tech as recognized and utilized by world-class athletes, esteemed functional medicine practitioners, and leading figures in the field of biohacking. Explore a range of transformative products from the Heal capsule, shielding you from harmful EMFs, to the Quantum Block, allowing you to infuse frequencies into your cherished possessions. Dive into the realm of innovation and wellness at sarahwestall.com/shop or by following the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have one of my favorite people, Ian Mitchell, coming to the program. He is the scientist's scientist. I mean, everybody likes to talk to this guy. He's always on think tanks. He's on boards. He's all these things. And so I just love talking to him. In fact, it took me about an hour and a half before we even started the interview because I had so many things I need to ask him about. And we're working on all these other projects. And I hope you have a fun time with this and learn and just let your mind get go in different directions. And I think in order to solve the problems that we have right now, we have to innovate. We have to innovate and we have to get ahead of things. Plus, we want to innovate. We want humanity to move forward and we want to have solutions to problems that we're dealing with that are pretty sophisticated. And that's where Ian comes in. I love talking to him. He has a bunch of products that he has developed. And we're going to talk about some of those and then some other science concepts. And if you're interested in getting any of those, you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop. MitoCure RX is one of the products that we talked about in the past, which was really a replacement for methylene blue. It uses methylene blue to increase your energy levels. And he's going to explain that at the very end of this podcast. But it also increases mitochondria turnover so that you have more energy long-term so you're not addicted to the product and it really works well. He explains why it does. It gets rid of your weakest cells first and turns them over and it's just a phenomenal product. But you're not addicted to something because you don't want something you have to take in order to have more energy. You want your body to just improve and have more energy. So we're going to talk about so many cool things though. We're also going to talk about this brain thing that he did for 3 days that was like condensing meditation down, years of meditation into a 3-day period or a week period. And he talks about the science behind that. Absolutely fascinating. Whole bunch of nuggets through this whole thing that you probably haven't heard before on a lot of different topics. So let's get into my really awesome conversation with my friend and scientist, Ian Mitchell. Hi, Ian. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Happy to be here.
Well, you are one of my favorite scientists for sure, and one of the best in the world. And people in the know that you are. You're always invited to these panels. People have no idea how good you are because you're always invited to the top think tanks and panels and behind the scenes. And so I love having you here.
Yeah, thank you. I do actually. I honestly feel like a kid in a candy store. It's kind of funny. It's funny that you say that too, because I just got invited on a group, and the people running it reached out to me and said, "Hey, we have the top longevity kind of thing for XYZ, and we've talked to all these doctors, and you're like the band's band." And I said, "What
Yeah,
do you
that's
mean?" And they're like,
right.
it was so funny to me. They were like, "Yeah, so everybody, talks about the stuff that you do with them, and like, your name keeps coming up repeatedly with all these guys." So I was like, "Oh, that's flattering." It's kind of cool though. So, I'm like the I guess little known dude that's in the backwoods of Oklahoma.
Well,
So
no, I mean, because you worked for NASA. I mean, you've worked for all these big institutions. I mean, people
yeah, I
reach
have.
out to you,
I've done some
right?
cool stuff.
You
Yeah, I mean,
have.
I've done some cool stuff.
Well, and it took us an hour and 20 minutes before we got this podcast going. So I had so many things I had to talk to you about. But anyways, one of the things that I really think that listeners would find super fascinating is the hole-on experience,
Oh
which
yeah,
we
that so
have to
that's
talk about this.
yeah, so that's a fellow named Dr. Drew Pearson, who developed a program, and he's worked with a bunch of different companies. He's a neuroscientist, and so what they developed is basically a program so you can enhance your mental capacity, right? And it's interesting. So I did the program. I went to California, did the program because I'm always kind of looking for whatever I can do that will give me an edge mentally. And so when I was a kid, I had really horrible migraines. So they, did all kinds of tests and scans on me and couldn't find anything. So my dad, on a whim, and this was in the early 70s, my dad put me in this thing called biofeedback. And so, back in the day, they put it looks like the original Ghostbusters, where you basically have a colander on your head with electrical leads. So I did that when I was a little kid and learned how to control a lot of my autonomic nervous functions, like you change your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature. And so that was really good. It was kind of like the precursor to learning how to meditate for me. But this n nowadays, I mean, obviously, like everything else technologically has continued to advance, so has, neurofeedback. And it was mind-boggling. So they put you in a 21-channel EEG, and they monitor everything in your brain, right? So they're looking at, how the blood flow is doing this, and what areas of connectivity and activity you're firing, and they can actually track all of that stuff now. So you actually get like a 3D image of your brain, and it shows all of the connectivity and what's happening. And so Drew, because he's done this for, 30 plus years, and he can read all the scans and all the stuff that is honestly well beyond my capacity, because to me it just looked like a readout of lots of weird data. But when you it's like going to a radiologist. To me it all looks just like grayscale images, but they actually see the bones, right? So
For sure, yeah.
you can like, "Oh, well, here's your," and I'm like, "Looks like a scratch and sniff, thing to me." Like it makes no sense to me whatsoever. But Drew can actually see kind of the signal that's hidden in the noise to me. And so he'll assess what your brain is doing and then what you could do to enhance it. And so we spent 3 days, which was honestly brutal, because it's so fatiguing. It feels like you do it for 8 to 10 hours a day or a little bit longer. And you start in the morning and you're doing hardcore neural work for 8 to 10 hours every day.
What do you
And
mean by hardcore neural work?
so you're mapping your brainwave states, and then you're trying to modulate your own brainwaves. So you've got a readout, and you can see what you're doing. Sometimes it's an auditory thing where it'll play a tone if you're doing the right thing. Sometimes it's on a screen, and you're visually looking at the readout, and you're trying to get your neural levels up to a certain point. So you have to learn how to put yourself in, theta wave state, delta state, and enhance the different components. And the idea there is that when you can consciously control what your brainwave states are doing, certain things allow you to be more creative, certain things allow you to be more analytical. And when you can shift between those states at will, it allows you to cognitively do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. And so for me, since kind of my bailiwick is trying to solve puzzles that a lot of people are working on, or that have been kind of heretofore sort of intractable and nobody's cracked, it helps when you can put yourself in a state where you're both highly creative and highly analytical, because one of my suppositions is that, you know, a lot of the problems that I'm working on aren't going to be solved with the classical things that we've already done.
For sure.
Otherwise, those problems wouldn't exist. So I'm trying to figure out how to put myself in states that are very creative, but also at the same time, very analytical, so I can do both. You know, because it really, if you're trying to integrate your brain, you've got the corpus callosum in the middle, and a lot of times things don't happen between the left and right hemispheres. And if you're doing work that's really demanding, you need to have both components. You have to be intuitive and creative, but at the same time, you have to be discerning and highly analytical. And so to that end, doing the work where you actually train yourself on how to elicit those different brainwave states is impactful. It's hard, but it's impactful. So, you know, in this case, I spent 3.5 days doing that. And it feels like you've taken 2 SATs in a day, or the GRE or something. I mean, you're white.
Really,
you're
mentally tired. And don't they say it's like doing meditation or yoga, like years of that?
So Drew developed a program called 40 Years of Zen was the way it was billed previously. And it's not exactly, that's not really true. You can't get the effect of meditating for 40 years by, you know, hooking yourself up to electrodes for a week. But you can get the effect of quite a few years, because it generally speaking, it would take years and years and years and years of meditating to figure out how to control your brain waves and do, you know, your heart rate and your body temperature and actually change all these physiological states. But when you have all of the equipment and you're watching, you know, the output from a 21-channel EEG, and you're monitoring your heart rate and your blood pressure and all that stuff, you can see very quickly, when I think this, when I put myself in this kind of a state, this is how it physically manifests. And so having that really concise feedback loop, I mean, hence the term neurofeedback, you see what actually makes the change and what doesn't. And so over the span of, you know, a few days of doing that, like the very first day, I was having a difficult time putting myself in a gamma brainwave state, and it was tricky. By the last day, I could finally do it. And there was one of the fellows that was there in the little cohort that I was in, they nicknamed him Gamma Man. And because he has done this for years, and he does a lot of neurofeedback and has for years, but his gamma wave states are just off the charts. And it took 3.5 days, basically, before I could, and I wasn't even anywhere close to where Tony was, but it took that much time to just figure out, like, how to get a feel for it. And I remember there was kind of a moment when I realized, like, oh, I feel it. You know, and I had the readouts and I was looking at the display, but it was funny. It didn't quite make the dent, right? Like, I didn't have the impact. And there was this one moment where I was like, oh, I got it. It's this thing. And it literally was just kind of like it wasn't anything physical about how I was moving. It was literally just about how I was breathing and how I was thinking. And once I had it, I had it. And, you know, from there on out, it was great. But the whole process was very cool, but at the end of the night, you literally just pass out. Like, the first night, I think I fell asleep face down on the bed with all my clothes on, because I was I was exhausted. I went upstairs.
I can see that.
Yeah, I went upstairs and I was like, oh, I'll just sit down for a second. And I was like, oh, I'll just lie down for a second. I was out. That was it, you know. And then I woke
put
up.
Me through that just so I can sleep better at night. Like, I can't turn my brain off.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because typically that's how I am, is I don't sleep a whole lot. And my brain is constantly churning and doing stuff. I was literally just so maxed out from all of this, because he said it was the equivalent of running marathons back to back every day. And he said that, like, the physiological equivalent of doing a marathon every single day for 3.5 days. And I've never done that, but I would imagine it's,
well, so now,
and to be fair, I won't be doing that, but yeah.
It's not really in your wheelhouse. But now, do you notice a difference between where you are? I mean, did it move the needle for you in your ability to be creative and scientific and analytical? You know, that it's that sweet spot where those curves cross.
Actually, the thing I noticed is I'm sure it enhanced it to a degree. It made it easier. It wasn't so much that I think it really, kind of hitting, let's say on a scale of 1 to 100, I'm, able to go to an 85 or a 90. It doesn't make me getting to an 85 or a 90 any more 85 or a 90. It just means I'm able to do it without exaggerating the effort that I used to put in. It's a lot easier to do it. Whereas before it would take a lot of effort to get to the point where I was like, okay, I'm in the zone. I feel creative. I'm in a flow state. I'm really crushing it analytically and, and kind of intuitively. Now it just sort of happens as opposed to having to really work at it, which is, I think, a much better way to arrive there. It literally, I mean, everybody talks about flow states, but it actually just kind of flows as opposed to feeling like you have to fight it. And one of the other things is, the Neural RX, this stuff, it was the first time that I had actually had an external like clinical validation, because one of the things was measuring output. So it's evoked potential, so evoked neural potential, and it's literally like the electrical potential that your neurons are exhibiting to fire. And I was one day I had taken, 2 tablespoons of Neural because I knew it was going to be a really intense day, and my levels were just, I could not hit a peak point that they were able to measure with the evoked potential. The next day I didn't have any, and I was on the same program that I was on the previous day, and it went up and then it locked on the second screen and it wouldn't go past that at all. And the previous day it literally never stopped. It would level up, then go to another, level up, go to another one. And so I asked Drew, what's the skinny here? And he said, oh, you just hit your level. And I thought, that seems weird. So I literally had the bottle close by. So I reached over and grabbed it and took a big swig. And about 19-ish minutes later, literally the levels went doo-dick,
Oh, it
doo-dick,
allowed you to go
doo-dick.
further.
And it just kept going. I was like, damn, that is, and it was really cool. I mean, I know because I've taken this stuff for a couple of years that you really do mentally have more juice when you do that. But it was still pretty awesome to actually like see it clinically validated with, a digital readout that could tell me like your evoked potential was this, now your evoked potential is
I
this.
mean, honestly, if you're preparing, let's say you're in a lawyer preparing for a case, or if you're a student, you need to go take the GRE or the GMAT or something.
Oh, heck yeah.
You should be, this would really help you when you're
Oh, yeah.
studying.
I
Right.
so for me, yeah, if I have like a crazy thing, like a while back, I had to write a patent in one night, and it was like this crazy demanding thing, and I literally had a day to do it. So I knew I wasn't going to sleep. That was kind of a given. So I took Neural RX, and then I took phenylparacetam and a thing called Neuroforce, which is by a company called Natural Stacks. And those three things, that's like my, I don't do it very often. I've only done it maybe 5 or 6 times. But it literally, it's like somebody turns the lights on and everything goes into high def.
So
It's
if you were Biden and you're preparing for this debate,
I'd
you
probably
could
have it
take your Neural RX. You'd have, but I mean, this Neural RX would make them, I mean, this is something that somebody like that.
Well, I actually developed that for people with Alzheimer's. That was the intended purpose, was to help people that have cognitive impairments. And it works. I mean, it's great. If you don't have a neural deficit and you're not massively cognitively impaired, then suddenly you have access to a lot more resources. That's what that
That's
evoked
right.
potential test showed, is that quite literally the output potential of your brain's gonna go up. And I mean, that was pretty awesome. But if somebody really has a big task, I wouldn't say just that. I really would. I would stack it with phenylparacetam and then that Neuroforce stuff. Because that, I mean, after about a decade of working on nootropics and looking at it, the three of those things in combination, that's the jam. I mean, it would be great if I developed those other products. I would be very proud and pat myself on the back. But fair being fair, that company that has the Neuroforce stuff, it's awesome. It's basically a photodiesterase inhibitor called forskolin root, and then another thing called the artichoke extract. And when you take those things in combination, it changes your input output potential neurally, so you can actually access more things than you normally would be able to access.
If you are like so many others, you need more energy to get through the day. What you need is a boundless energy of MitoCure RX, the revolutionary solution from Wizard Labs. Many of you have heard of methylene blue, which only offers a temporary boost. MitoCure RX takes methylene blue a step further. By integrating urethane A and other potent ingredients, it not only elevates energy instantly, but also fosters long-term cellular vitality and mitochondrial turnover. Say goodbye to fleeting fixes and hello to sustained vigor. Your energy and mitochondria will thank you. Embrace vitality today at sarahwestall.com under shop or with the link below.
And phenylparacetam similarly does that, but it's there are a lot of drugs in the racetam class. There's coloracetam, aniracetam, pramiracetam, piracetam,
Okay.
phenylparacetam. Phenylparacetam is by far and away the strongest. It's about 50 times stronger than any of the others. The problem is it's so intense that your body notices that there's been this huge output shift. And so if you do it more than a couple times in a row, you're never going to get the effect again. Your body actually
Oh.
blunts it. It's
And it's not,
probably
so it's
the
not
equivalent.
good. It'd be like one of those things that before you have to go do this really public debate, you'd do it, but you wouldn't do
Yeah,
it daily.
exactly. Yeah, like
And but you could do
before my
all the
kids were taking
neural,
the SAT.
you could do your stuff daily just to
Oh
help
yeah,
get better at
and that's
preparing.
fine.
And then when you have to take the ACT, you would do the combination.
Yeah, when my son was taking the ACT, because my oldest, I think, took the SAT and my youngest took the ACT. When he was going in for that, it's exactly what I did, is I made sure he was stacked up a neural, then had the Neuroforce, and then also had the paracetam, because it was, and he got a 35, so he didn't do too poorly on it. So, he's a smart kid. But definitively it helps, and that's, I mean, just like if you were doing any other performance thing, like I know you and I have talked about this stuff, but this is the oxygen water that I just released, and it's under a different company. It's called Inhale, but it's something that changes the way you metabolically function, right? So like normal water has 8 parts per million oxygen, and this has closer to 100 parts per million, which is kind of, technically, it was actually fun to figure that out. And you've seen the safety third shirt that I wear with the beaker with the explosion on it. Okay. That actually, my staff
Safety
made
third.
those,
Yeah, I love that.
because I blew up the lab in the process of trying to figure out how to make this stuff. So I was in my infinite quest for trying to figure out like strange and
I
cool
can
stuff.
see you doing that.
Yeah, well, I really did. I mean, it was kind of dangerous. I actually, luckily, I was in the lab by myself, but I sent shrapnel flying out everywhere. It blew out the wall, blew a hole in the ceiling. Shrapnel flew through the lab, cut the gauges off of
Lucky
my
you're
carbon arc.
still alive.
Yeah. I always tell people it was like if you've ever seen the movie Pulp Fiction, where Sam Jackson looks around and he's like, there are the bullet holes all around him, and he's like, that's kind of how I felt, because it was like. So what I was doing is I figured out how to increase the compression rates in water, and which is, doable. I actually, the way I did it was I was thinking, what has the highest compression in nature? And it was, well, black holes. So how do I mimic that in a fluidic system? So I did that, and I totally like rigged this up in the lab, and it was admittedly, like parts purchased at Lowe's and some things, from a garage sale, and like I found everything I needed just to see if it would work. And it worked, but then I got the genius idea of, if I can do it with oxygen, I bet I could do that with hydrogen. And because nobody had been able to really do that. So I tried it with hydrogen. Turns out, Hindenburg Waterworks is probably not a good idea. So I literally just like blew everything to pieces and like sent, aluminum shrapnel from the, I used an aluminum pressure cooker for part of it. And when it went, it exploded and just went everywhere. And it was a bad
You almost killed yourself. Okay, so in the quest of doing something good, you almost killed yourself. But
Yeah.
what does this do? Because I think athletes or anybody could do it, but it's kind of expensive to do it every day, right? I mean, it's for like athletes if you're gonna do
Yeah. I actually,
or a
so
workout
it's,
if you're gonna be doing your workout. Go ahead.
yeah, it's like between $3 and $4, I think, is, what it's sold at for a can. And it basically, so it'll increase your VO2 max. And the first thing you notice, like if you're downing a can of it, and I sent you the images from the clinical
Oh,
data of
we are
what it
going to
does to
put that
the blood.
up right
Yeah,
now.
that's
People need to
actually
see
really
it.
cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it show to explain what this blood does, because it, or what you were looking at.
So what happens is a lot of times because we're sort of in an EMF soup most of the time and we have a lot of toxicity in our body, your blood forms these things that everybody just calls coin rolls. And really it's the red blood cells aggregate and they stick together. They should actually be
Coagulate.
distributed and free floating and do all this stuff, but they kind of start sticking together and they stack. And when they stack like that, they can't transport oxygen as well, and they can't move nutrients around in your system. Like you really just don't get power the way you're supposed to get power. And so when you drink the water, the additional oxygen separates them and allows them to ionically spread. And so it's interesting. I don't know if you remember this. A couple of years ago, I was working on a project that was all to do with ozone. So
Yep.
this company reached out to me and they wanted to see if they could do the equivalent of ozone therapy in a pill. And I actually told them I didn't think it was possible. I was wrong. It actually was possible. But in the process, I was doing all this research on ozone, and the woman who seemed like she was kind of the best in terms of dealing with ozone, there were a couple of really good doctors in the US, and there was this woman named Sylvia Menendez in Cuba. And because Cuba had been, blocked off via sanctions, they didn't really have a lot to work with. So she kind of went deep on all the therapeutics that she could develop using ozone because she could treat her patients with ozone. And so she came up with the idea, the effects, they pull the blood and then they inject the ozone into it and it changes the color. It's called autohemotherapy. So you pull your blood, you inject a couple cc's of ozone into it, about 100 cc's of ozone into it, and it changes the entire color of the pint of blood, right? It turns beautiful, bright cherry red. It's very oxygenated. And then they reintroduce it into your body. Now, everyone said it's because of ozonides, right? It sets up this cascade. Once it's reintroduced, your mitochondria upregulate, you have more energy, your inflammatory response drops, and you feel good for a couple of days. And I've done the autohemotherapy thing, and it's true. You really do. You feel much better for a few days. And so Sylvia Menendez said that, well, it's because of these things called ozonides. It sets up cascade molecules that kind of let your body respond over the course of a couple of days. So it isn't just because of the molecules that have been introduced. Because ozone is about the third most reactive species, and it's all of the ozone is gone the moment you introduce it to the blood. It's literally gone in milliseconds. And so because of that, it leaves all of this free available oxygen, and that's why your blood turns this really beautiful cherry red color. Well, she was working with ozone, so she named those ozonides. And everybody in, kind of scientifically, because it's in the literature, we just all called it ozonides. Well, when I was doing the first round of testing with this, the image that shows in the blood, I very quickly realized that. And I should have snapped to it when I was working on ozone, but you just assume like if you're working with a thing, something is a direct consequence of that thing. It's not actually true. In this case, it's kind of a misnomer. It should have probably been called like oxonides or something like that, because the cascade molecules that are the signaling effects, that's not actually coming from ozone, because the ozone, as I said, it's so molecularly active that it's spent in a matter of milliseconds. But what you're left with is all of this oxygen, and our bodies run on oxygen. And we have, as it turns out, all these mechanisms to sense the sudden increase in the oxygen concentration systemically. So when our body senses that, it sends out all those cascade molecules and everything rebalances. Because when I made the water, before the doctor sent me those clinical images, I just assumed that the reaction would happen. You'd get the oxygen in your system, it'd be good for a couple minutes, and you'd be done. Not true. It sets up that same cascade because you get this sudden burst in oxygen and it sets up all those cascade molecules. So your blood actually fans out. So the image that I sent you, that's 30 minutes after drinking a can.
So if you
And
were going to be, let's say I'm going to be playing in a soccer game or a hockey game, or I'm doing something physical, running a marathon, when would you want to, or even working out, when would you want to take it? Like 20 minutes before then?
so it depends on what you're going for. If you're going for performance, yeah. If you're working out, I wouldn't take it before. I would take it after because it will speed your recovery cycle. If you're doing something competitive, I would 100% take it before. They just used it at the NFL Combine. That was the first place it was actually tried
And what
is
so the NFL, what, how did you get feedback on that?
Yeah, I did actually. There are a lot of people who have now signed up and are signing contracts to be like reps and affiliates and all that stuff. But it's true. Like one of the universities that was trying it out, all of their running backs are now starting to use it, and it's one
I'm
of
not
the yeah.
surprised. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing, right? So after I developed it, I had just finished working out, and I was like super, super winded, and I have never had this experience from anything else. And I've tried like hiking in Colorado and using one of those little oxygen bottles because I thought that might help because I'm from a low elevation. I was suddenly in Boulder and I was going to go hiking, and I was completely dying. And so I got one of those little oxygen canisters and didn't do much, right? But I had just finished working out and I was completely winded and I had a can of this stuff and I cracked it open and I really wasn't expecting this to happen. It was weird. I downed the can and I was panting. I mean, I was so winded. I was like, and then in the middle, literally in the middle of a breath, I went, and I was no longer winded. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Wow.
It was just a
Wow.
weird sensation because I had never felt anything like that. So upon like further digging, I realized that when you ingest that, it goes in and it hits the renal portal vein and goes right into your blood. But your body's feedback loop is so quick that if you don't need additional oxygen, I mean, that's the reason you're breathing hard is you're trying to reoxygenate your blood so it can hit your tissues and get in your muscles. And if you don't need it, you're not breathing hard. Like literally instantly, it's a bizarre sensation to have your respiration stop mid-cycle. But that's
Wow.
exactly what it
I
does. Like
almost
the
want to cause that and then do it to feel that
100%. Like
sensation.
that's one of the reason people are kind of getting into it now, and I think it's starting to really spread is because all the athletes that we sent it out to at first to try it out, the feedback was awesome. Like the and you can see it's there's a fellow who's one of the track athletes at it'll come to me in just a second. It's not Syracuse, it's one of the ones up there, but they're gonna start using it, and I asked them to send me the test data because normally when you're running sprints, you'll have your first run is quick, your second run is the fastest, and then you taper off on the third. My supposition with this, and I'll let you know the next time we loop back,
Yeah.
because it may or may not happen, is that the first run will be quick, the second run will be quicker, and then I told him to drink the can before the third run. And my guess is the third run will actually be faster. But because it's like you just literally have more access to fuel, and that's your VO2 max goes up, you can suddenly utilize the oxygen. And it's interesting because I just read an article from a professor at McGill who was bashing the concept of oxygen water and saying that you're better off just taking an extra breath, which is a little bit not accurate. But the rationale, I mean, I understand the rationale just in terms of like the amount that you bring in, but it's not accurate because if you can get it to drop directly through your renal portal vein into your bloodstream, you suddenly have access to all this stuff. And
But
I
this is
know
a but this is different. This is a different
it's
oxygen
well,
water.
I actually,
Yeah.
I so when I was going to do this, after I had come up with this, I wanted to see what everybody else had done. And so I bought literally every oxygen water that I could find, like flavored ones, unflavored ones. And so other people had done basically kind of the same idea. And the two that I thought would be the best were one called Ophora and one called Cocoon. And Ophora was actually pretty legit. Like it hit about 40 parts per million and seemed pretty stable. And so that's and I read their patents too. Like they did a pretty decent job of it. But that was kind of where it capped out, and you can do so much more. The other one was Cocoon, and they kind of specialize in oncology, and they recommend that people who are going through cancer use it, and that actually makes a lot of sense. Like they have a doctor in Hungary is where most of their research comes from, and they have a clinic in Vegas where they have these baths, and it's kind of like an oxygen water bath. And you lay down in the bath, and the oxygen perfuses through your dermis into your body. And I know that that actually works. Even Gary Brecka was talking about that a while back. He thought the same thing that I did initially, which is there's no way that's going to work, but it actually does work because if you get very, very small nanoscopic bubbles, it goes in just fine.
Well, I could see this being a game changer for the Olympics and for, I mean, for athletes everywhere and just every people everywhere, but athletes everywhere, it could change the game at the Olympic level.
Yeah, it definitely could. I mean, I've worked with, well, that's why Olympic serum is called Olympic serum, is because I did it for Olympic athletes. Yeah, I suppose it could. So,
Wow,
and
that's
it
so
also helps if
fascinating.
you've got something in your foot.
You got to keep me posted on where this research goes. But I want to talk to you because I just did a docu-series on, this gets pretty a little bit dark now, on mind control and fifth generation warfare. It is. But one of the things that we've learned is that nutritional deficiencies and toxicity of aluminum and other things, but nutritional deficiencies make you more susceptible to mind control. And you have the new vitamins, and everybody needs to get their vitamins, but you, along with Quantum, because I work with Leela Quantum Service, you fused their service and their product and yours and super pumped up the effectiveness of vitamins. Can you talk about that? Because that I saw the charts. You showed me zinc and other things. I was like, holy crap.
Well, that's one of the things is, so I try and do like really good scientific validations for a lot of other people. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when people tack on quantum, 9 times out of 10, it's utter BS.
It's BS, yes.
And that's, I mean, it's
I
because
almost don't like to use that word because of that, but go ahead.
I am reluctant. However, when you're dealing with something and you're actually operating at that scale, the testing, I mean, that's why I do all the validations and the testing, is because I want to show it and just be like super open and go, okay, this is compound one. This is the same compound, but quantum charged. Here's how they're different. And they're profoundly different. And if they weren't, I'd be the first person to say, because when I first did those validations ages ago to look at the quantum effects, I didn't think it was going to happen. Like, I was a bit of a naysayer. But after doing it, I was like, well, okay, I obviously don't understand something because there's an effect.
A significant effect.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, you're good. But you showed me some charts that just zinc, the difference of zinc before and after the quantum. I'm going to put that picture up. What are we looking at with
Okay,
the zinc?
so if somebody want to take, like, if you put that picture up, they need to screen capture it, because the first graph, it's actually showing the reduction oxidation potential, which is basically like how much can something interact, like ionically interact with your body. And what's weird about that is it looks like there's just one orange line. And we even did this for the first time we were talking on the phone. I texted it to you and I said, okay, no, you have to blow up the image because it just looks like there's an orange line.
Yeah, I was like, well, what do you mean? But what am I looking at? And there's a blue line
Yeah,
behind it.
it's
Yes, because it's
because so
identical.
I took a batch of the zinc, scooped out 2 vials from the same batch of zinc, ran the oxidation potential. It's
Just to
identical. That's
prove
why the line.
that your baseline is the same.
Yeah, exactly. To set a baseline, they're identical. Then I didn't do anything else. I put one in the block, left one out on the counter, and then I went back and ran the oxidation potential again, and they were completely different. And I was like, what? So, and the first time I actually did that test was February of 2021. And I remember because when I got the data back, I was just looking at it like a dog that had heard a new sound, because it was kind of a, and like it didn't make sense, right? Because I, like, if I run an, like a GCMS or a gas chromatograph, like when I look at it, it says, this is zinc. That's it, right? And I run the other one, it says, this is zinc. Same thing, right? Came out of the same vat, same thing. But then when I look at the way that they're functioning, they're entirely different. Like, suddenly, magically, they're entirely different. I'm like, okay, well, how does that work? And I still don't. I have some theories that are kind of I'm testing out, but what's weird about it is our technology right now, right? If I run a spectroscopic analysis on something, it will tell me this is zinc. Okay, great. In both cases, it says this is zinc, but not exposing it to a different air, not exposing it to electrical fields, and not exposing it to everything other than setting it in the center of a quantum block, it entirely changes the way that it functions. And that sounds weird, But what's truly weird is that, so I did this with a bunch of different compounds and they all changed. And then another guy, I talked to Philip, the fellow who runs Alila-Q, and Philip had another scientist run it, and they did 10 compounds. And this is the same thing I saw, and this is where it gets weird. All of the compounds changed, but not all in the same direction. It always changed in the direction that made it more effective biologically, which is.
Amazing.
That's where it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around, right? It's like, okay, if it all went in the same direction, that would be something where I could say, okay, there's an effect and it's changing, electrons because of this or this or this. But every time out of 10, it went in the direction that would make them more biologically active. That's weird. And my personal take on that is because there is some sort of overarching intelligence, if you will, that really understands how things function. And that was one of the things that when we did the experiments on quantum at a distance to see, like, can we affect things at a distance? And I did it in a double-blinded fashion. That was when I really kind of like the it was sort of like the fog part, and I was like, oh my God, there is some sort of connecting underlying intelligence between everything. Like, I don't know what that intelligence is. I don't even want to posit an idea, but I can tell you there would be no way to do the same experiment 5 or 6 times, get the same outcome every single time when they're all double blinded, and it just it's
I think it's God. I think that the scientists that get to the edge of science start to figure out that science proves that God exists. I mean, it's God, but keep going.
I'm Well, yeah, I always just say, consciousness or the universe, or you can say God. I mean, all of those things I
Yes.
think are, I mean, I think they're kind of synonymous with some sort of overarching, pervading intelligence that connects everything,
That's right. Yep.
and it is a little bit weird, but truly, like the best scientists I know, there's kind of like this median point where you get the guys who are really good. And in general, I think there's a lot of, questioning and agnostic kind of approaches to
Yep,
things.
yep.
And I was actually, I was a super diehard agnostic for the longest time. But then after seeing enough things and experiencing enough things, I kind of went, okay, well, that ship has sailed. I am wrong. And I need to reassess. Well, I mean, that's science,
I
right?
know that all the top scientists, I think, have come to those conclusions.
Yeah, there is. Sometimes I really. It's kind of funny because my dad and I joke about this a lot. Is it, the more I get into things, the more I feel like a thousand part machine trying to understand a trillion part machine.
That's
Like
right.
I can see definitively patterns in places that most
Yep.
people aren't seeing patterns, but they're so complex. Like it's like this stuff, right? If you look at a compound, you say, yes, it's still the same compound, but it has all of these different properties. What I liken that to, like, I give people the analogy of I say, look, I hand you a suitcase. You know it's a suitcase. It's filled with gyroscopes. Okay, walk down a hall, take a turn, no problem. But if I hand you the same suitcase and every one of those gyroscopes is spinning full speed, you run down the hallway and try and turn left, it's going to have a different effect. The way we are technologically right now in the 21st century, I can look at it and go, it is this molecule. What I can't tell you is the electrons are spinning in this direction, or they're going in this direction, or this. And it's kind of like, and a lot of that's Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which is kind of basically saying that if you understand something's direction, you're not going to understand its speed, right? And if you understand its velocity, you're not going to understand where its terminus is going to be in terms of space, which is the joke. The good joke about this is Werner Heisenberg is driving down a road and gets pulled over by a traffic cop. And the traffic cop says, do you know how fast you're going? He goes, no, but I'm headed home. The guy goes, you clocked in at 75 miles an hour. And he goes, great, now I'm lost. So, which is the nerd joke about Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. But it's,
That is funny. The stupid
yeah, well,
jokes that
so.
scientists say. Keep going.
Yeah, but that's the thing is technologically, we're always trying to push things forward. And unfortunately, we can tell you what something is, but there are certain things that subatomically we just can't measure it yet, right? Like, can I definitively say, oh, the quarks are moving in this direction? No, but I guarantee you, if the outcome of a quark moving in a certain direction didn't have any impact, there would probably not be any quarks, right? So we have, something that's strange moving in a direction, and I use the word strange because of the quark, but we can't actually determine that yet. We're just not there, right? Not to say we won't be, because I think it's people that are doing the same stuff I'm doing. We're in a lab, you have access to all this analytical stuff, and you run it and you go, okay, this is great. It tells me what something is, but it doesn't tell me how it reacts, and it can't tell me why it's reacting differently. Like, I know it's happening, but I still don't know why. Is it the electron spin? Is it polarizing something? I mean, there's all these effects that it could be, and I'm trying to figure them out. I don't know yet, but that's the exciting part to me, is not what I can look up on Google that has already been done, but stuff where you're like, okay, why is this happening? And I'm sure you've heard me say this, but it's like, if you, unfortunately, this is kind of the way science works. If you dropped an apple 1,000 times and 999 times it fell to the ground, and 1 out of the 1,000 times it literally hovered in the air, most science, the way it's done now, you go, now that's a, that's an anomalous result. Let's just take that to statistical outlier, throw it away. What I would do if I saw an apple hovering in the air when I dropped it was go, what the heck just happened, right? And try and pull the thread, like, very open-mindedly say, obviously there's something that I don't understand, may not happen every time, but it's happening at least some of the time. It's kind of my job as a scientist to figure out what that is, right? Like,
That's
push
right.
the knowledge forward, and maybe I'll never get it. But I went to see one of the guys who got the Nobel Prize for carbon-60, right? Because I work in a lot of carbon-60 stuff. So I went to see Bob Curl at Rice a couple years back before he passed. And we were talking, and it was very obvious to me. I don't know that he had this perception, because he was the giant on whose shoulders I was standing, right? But I was entirely humbled, because all of the research and, like the Neural RX and the stuff for cancer and all these things that I've been able to help people with and develop, I wouldn't have been able to do a damn bit of that had it not been for, Croteau and Curl and Smalley. And, and Professor Curl, he was like a super nice, really humble old, he was an octogenarian and just a very humble old scientist who was a really badass chemist. But I was standing on the shoulders of giants. And likewise, if I do my best work, there will be a lot of things that I never get to the bottom of, right? It will be some new younger person who's smarter, who has access to better analytical gear or new tests that have been devised. And that's kind of the plight of science, right? Is you can theoretically come up with things, and it may be, I might not ever live to see a lot of the things that I theorize actually come to fruition, because we just simply don't have the tech to do it, right? The best
That's right.
spectroscopic stuff I have now, it's not telling me why I'm seeing what I'm seeing. It's, telling me using multiple instruments that, yes, this is definitively an effect. It's better biologically, and it has this potential. Awesome. Still can't tell me how, And I don't know, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, somebody will have, a quantumometer, and maybe all that will do is measure the direction of spin of some particle that's, subatomic, that's, who knows? We
That
just don't
helps
know,
us
right?
understand. That's right. And it's the best thing to do is just keep things moving forward in a pro-human way. And, always in that way. And then, because we have to, because the bad guys are coming up with stuff too. So we got to keep
Well,
counteracting that.
to your point, right? You got to keep people healthy. And that's, I'm beating the same drum that I know you are, is that's why I'm doing things like baseline things like vitamins and nutrients and stuff to combat, exogenous toxins in your body, and, all the carbon-60 stuff, just things that legitimately move the needle to help people. The vitamins thing is, I'm scratching my own itch because I wanted that, right? And so I'll be able to sell a better product for a lower price, because I'll be able to sell, and get a more pronounced effect with something that's less expensive.
Well, and
So
that's amazing.
hopefully.
And people, go ahead.
No, I just so hopefully it's more accessible to more people, right? Like that's kind of been one
That's
of the
right.
things that I've been trying to do is like, even though you don't notice it, like the cost of carbon 60 has gone up a lot over the past couple of years. And I know you know that because you know most of the guys that work with it. But I'm still trying to ratchet things down so we can do it for less and less and less and less. And I know there's some other people doing the same thing. Then that's kind of what we need to do because if you want to make a big dent, you've got to make it accessible for the average person, right?
That's
So
right. Because if it's only accessible
vitamins.
to 1% of the society, then it's not really making a difference. And that's what we got to do is get it out to a bigger group. And anybody that's interested in buying any of the stuff that we're talking about today, whether it's the water or the vitamins and or MitoCure RX, which is another product that you sell, well, I'll have the links below for people, or they can go to sarahwestall.com under shop and get all that. But I mean, I just love talking to you because I learn so much. We get to talk because I'm really into innovation right now because we have to be because of what we're seeing and what's it's if you're going to be fighting a war against an opponent, if they're fighting with machine guns and tanks, you can't be coming in with bows and arrows. I mean, you have to be you got to use the best you got.
Oh, excuse me for one sec. Sorry. Oxygen testing equipment on my desk. They needed it. Yeah,
Oh,
no,
okay, yeah.
I agree. Actually, what comes to mind when you say that is, have you ever seen the image of the fellow who's using a shield against one of the water cannons? And it's hilarious as an image because he's just a guy with one of those, big, police protective shields, and they're firing a water cannon at him, which is basically a fire hose. And he's just standing like this, his feet are braced and water shooting everywhere. And it's just kind of funny because that is sort of what you're up against when you're trying to help a populace where at just about every turn they're being damaged by bad food, bad light, bad EMFs,
That's
bad
right.
this. I mean, chemically and electromagnetically, we are under assault.
And maybe we'll get to a point where we can get to the source and we can start fixing at the source so we're not under assault. But until then, this is what we got to do.
Well, what's funny about that, and this is maybe me being ever the optimist, is all of that stuff, like the electromagnetic waves and things that people, I just heard a professor say this a couple of days ago. It was like, well, it's been scientifically proven that EMFs don't do anything to people. That is so ridiculous. That's literally akin to saying it's been scientifically proven that microwaves won't warm a hot dog.
Or
No.
it's scientifically
Sorry.
proven that cigarettes are good for you. They said that for years
Well,
under his
Lucky
safeguard.
Strikes, this doctor's favorite brand. I mean, that's
That's
like
right. That's
how
what
easy
the
is it to?
equivalent is.
Yeah, it is. It's like how easy is it to co-opt science? Well, you pay for it, right? You just foot the bill. I mean, ask Harvard their opinion on sugar. Just
That's
saying.
exactly
So,
right.
I mean, it doesn't really matter what the institution is. It can be unfortunately co-opted. That's one of the reasons, like. And I think you know this is like for I guess I've been working with the Lila guys for 5 or so years
They're
now,
awesome. They're just
and they
awesome.
really are. They're good people. And when I first started doing the testing, I just thought it was not going to be real. And sure enough, it was real. And so literally, I have volunteered. I'm their chief science advisor and have done countless experiments, gone around, lectured on it. I've never gotten paid a penny at all. Right. And
Why?
the reason is scientific validity, in my opinion, goes up if there's not a financial concern, right? The moment you have like some financial concern about like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo,
That's right.
I'm gonna say that this works if this doesn't. A lot of people think like, oh, you're paid by this company. No, I'm not. It's actually kind of a pain in the ass because it takes a lot of time and a lot of thought and a lot of experimentation to validate what's going on. But I also kind of feel like it's incumbent upon you if you have the capacity to understand, see, and test that stuff to kind of move it forward, right? Because a lot of times there are a lot of scientists who will literally look at something like that and go, that's BS, that can't be. Well, and admittedly, that, I mean, you may start out with that kind of as a little bit of a hold off and kind of a stand out of like, I don't know, we'll see. But when you do the test and you get the result, you go, okay. You do it again, you get the result. You do it the third, the fourth, the fifth time, and you get the result every time. You go, okay, Obviously, I don't get it. And I think, unfortunately, if you have a financial interest in saying that something is working, you're more inclined to do that, right? It's that Upton Sinclair thing of you'll have a very difficult time convincing a man to understand something he's paid to not understand. I
That's
think the
right.
converse of that works as
That,
well, right?
yes. Yeah.
You
Well,
know,
and the
and so.
Leela guys, I just love them. They're, if people, I have this docuseries that's airing on Brighteon. Anybody that gets the buys the set gets a 3 month trial of Leela just to see if it works for you.
Yeah. And, you know, some people it's profound and they feel it. Some people never feel it. I was at a conference and a fellow literally had an Apple Watch
Explain
on.
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So there was this fellow named Larry and we were at a biohacking conference and I came in the morning and he called me and said, "Hey, Ian, would you come over and check this out?" And I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And he said, "Every time I walk across the room, my heart rate goes up 20 beats a minute." So, okay. And he said, "I don't understand it." I said, "It's because we have the new eighth generation Leela block out on the table. It's the quantum block." And he goes, "I don't understand." I said, "Well, think of it as a like energy flowing through a line. It's a voltage that your body isn't attuned to yet or used to. So it's kind of like if you plugged in a cord and instead of running 110 through your normal lamp cord, you ran 220 through it. Well, it's too much voltage, right? It's going to heat up because there's resistance on the line. Your body is kind of the same thing. You can do things to kind of ameliorate that, like drink a lot of water, kind of chill yourself out, you know, relax, kind of breathe into it, but it's still a little too much. And the way that expresses physiologically is your heart rate increases. So, and we did it multiple times. We'd walk over, go up, walk back, drop down, walk over, go up, walk back, drop down. And it was bizarre to him that there was like a
Because he
tangible
couldn't feel it, right?
effect.
It just,
He couldn't feel it. He had
he
no
couldn't
idea what
feel.
it was, but once we did that over and over and over, he knew that that's what it was because when he'd go over towards the block, bink, heart rate would go up 20 beats a minute. And it's always interesting, like when people see something tangible, like if they have a Whoop or an Apple Watch or something like that, and they can look at it because it's different. You know, you don't know exactly what's happening. But that's, again, it's getting back to just the basic lack of definitive instrumentation. Like you know, it probably will be quite a while before somebody figures out what's really going on. I'm sure it more likely than not, just because all matter is like this, it probably has something to do with spin, and it probably has something to do with coherence, right? Because coherence changes the amplitude of wave. And you know, it's like because things are always pumping out waves. Or like if you take the example of a light, so most things are like an incandescent light, right? The same number of emissive photons can come off of an incandescent light in all sorts of directions. But if you use a laser, what happens when you get it moving all coherently is that same photons are all moving in the same direction at the same rate with the same focal point. And so, you know, the incandescent light might warm the hot dog that wasn't able to be warmed in the microwave. But, you know, the laser will punch a hole through steel. Same number of photons, just a different degree of coherence. And my guess is when you're looking at the vitamins or the minerals and you're trying to see what it is that's actually different, my guess, and this is just a hypothesis, is that it's something that probably has to do with coherence and or locking in of spin states of things so that they are moving in the same direction at the same rate at the same time. Because when you do that, it's my example of the gyroscope, right? If all those things are jumbled and not moving, or if they're even in the suitcase and they're jumbled and moving in different directions, there's a negation of force. But if everything is moving in the same direction at the same rate at the same time, there's a huge amount of angular momentum that's confined inside that suitcase. So you're not going to be able to move the way you would if it weren't. And I think that's probably what's happening. But again, you know, maybe I figure it out, maybe I don't figure it out. You know, at some point, somebody with a quantumometer, which will probably be available at, you know, Home Depot 50 years from now, will, you know, like, "Oh, well, this food is good for you because it says X." And I think, I mean, not to be too kind of reductive, but when you're a kid growing up and your mom makes food for you, the idea that it's filled with love and it's better for you, I think that actually has a lot of scientific validity. So
Yes, yeah. Well, and you know
it's.
that babies, the ones that are held, versus not held develop significantly better. Just the human touch, just being held. I mean, there's so much we don't understand.
Well, actually, with nursing women, they realized literally just a few years ago that if a woman expresses milk at night and then puts it in a freezer, and then she expresses milk in the morning and puts it in a freezer, then let's say she is trying to put the baby down for a nap in the day and gives it, the daytime stuff, it stays awake. If she tries to put it down at night to go to sleep and she uses the milk that was expressed in the morning, totally changes the endocrine profile. The baby wakes
Wow.
up. Yeah, and the same thing with the stuff that was expressed at night. If they give it to the baby in the morning, baby goes to sleep.
So you want to
And
give them because you probably have more, you're tired, and so that expresses through the milk that you're giving your baby.
yeah, it's an entirely different
Moms
set
need
of.
to learn that because that's a strategy.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is like, how long have, again, this is how long have women been expressing milk and saving it for babies and not known that? I mean, we just literally figured that out a couple years ago, right? And
Wow.
it's the scientific
See, I
equivalent. I always.
always learn so much. Every time I talk to you, there's always these nuggets that I learn that I'm just like,
Yeah.
wow.
Well,
Okay.
there's a Far Side cartoon. I probably read far too many of the Far Side cartoons, but there's one where these two sharks are swimming up towards the shore and everybody's running out of the water. And one of the sharks is looking at the other one and he goes, "Dude, your dorsal fin is sticking up. I wonder how long that's been screwing things up for us." And it's like, like legitimately, that's kind of how I feel a lot of times, like with the women expressing milk, right? Like that's been happening forever, and we just never really thought about it, right? Because we've only had the ability to store the milk for, the past century or so. And really, we've only had the ability to really dice down and look at the chemistry in it for the past probably 15 years or so. And then somebody just happened to go, "Hey, wait a second, but it's been there the entire time. We literally just missed it, right?
Well,
Like
we screwed it
completely
up. It
missed
made
it."
it worse for ourselves. We created this thing where we're giving this
Yeah.
baby this bomb to wake up.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
All
So
right.
women need
Yeah.
to learn this. This is so good. Okay, and the last thing before we go, I just want to talk about it quick because I know we did a whole show on it on the MitoCure RX because the methylene blue is something that gives people energy. It's not like caffeine that masks
No.
it. This it really does.
Yeah,
But
it's
it's
really good. It's
temporary, right? So it's
it
not something that you
is.
don't want to give
So,
something that they're addicted to. Go ahead.
well, the reason I actually made that is the majority of it, the methylene blue is great, and yeah, it's an electron donor and an acceptor both. So it kind of does what your body needs. It's sort of adaptogenic. But the real reason I used it is that if you use methylene blue, it affects so your electron transport chain is broken down into different complexes, and you can affect complex one and complex two with methylene blue. And the majority of that capsule is made of a thing called urolithin A, and urolithin A triggers a process called mitophagy. And so your mitochondria that everybody remembers from like eighth grade is the powerhouse of the cell. And basically, what mitophagy is it's your body's process to go in and break down, use macrophages and break down mitochondria. So it senses, your body goes in and senses what mitochondria are damaged. And so the methylene blue is actually, in my formulation, used as kind of like a contrast agent. So it can see which mitochondria are the most damaged and then purge those the most rapidly, right? So you start with the thing that's absolutely the most broken. You get it out of your system. The energy boost is kind of it's just a bonus. But its intended purpose was to act as a contrast agent so your body could see what's broken and how do I get it out the most efficiently. And then one of the other compounds is a thing called PQQ, pyrroloquinoline quinone, and that stimulates mitochondrial biogenesis, which is, the fancy science way of saying it's you're producing new mitochondria. But what's different, and the reason I included that is, it doesn't replace things on a one-to-one rate, right? It increases mitochondrial density. So if you take one out that's damaged, normally your body would just replace it with one. The PQQ does is you take one out that's damaged and it replaces it with 1.2 or 1.3 more. So you end up with of the 4 trillion mitochondria on average that a person has, if you just do a one-to-one replacement, you'll say, let's say your mitochondria are operating at, just for sake of easy math, 80%, and you take them to 100% across all 4 trillion. That's awesome. You just got this big bonus jump of 20%. You're operating at total capacity. But if you can replace them at, say, 1.3, right? So you're operating at 80% and you replace them with 1.3, even if you're still operating at 80%, you're operating at a higher percentage just because of that additional 0.3 than you would be if you were operating at 100% perfect capacity. And because it's not terribly plausible that you're going to operate at peak efficiency across all systems, right? That just systemically, that's a fallacy.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. But if you increase the density and you've got 1.3 of those to play with, so at the end of the day, you've got 5.2 trillion instead of 4 trillion, rock on. Then you can operate at a much lower capacity. Your system will be more balanced, but you literally have more output energetically than you did if you were operating on your best day with all of the best resources and the best food and the best water. And it's kind of my attempt to band-aid things because, like I said, we're always kind of biologically under assault. So the stuff I'm doing is trying to give you more resources biologically so that while you are contending with normal everyday stuff, you're buffered, right? And you can take the hit and keep going. Because I worked with a company called Bulletproof one time ago, and I really liked, they had great coffee, and I liked some of the stuff they did, but the concept always was funny to me because they called it Bulletproof, and then they had this whole list of like kryptonite foods and things that you shouldn't do. And it's funny because I remember like the idea of Superman being bulletproof, not as in you have to hide and go into a corner and try and take yourself away, but that you're so robust that somebody shoots you, doesn't matter. You know,
Well,
it
that's what
bounces.
building your immune system's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's I know I had sent you the information on my friend Greg Fahey's protocol, the TrimX protocol. And
Yes.
that's the one that's in FDA phase two clinicals. And it's the only thing that anybody's seen so far that's been able to reduce biological aging or have the hallmarks of reducing biological aging in humans. So, and they're doing, full
Besides
phase
like
clinical.
telomere lengthening and C60, but that actually is getting by the FDA process.
Yeah, it's actually, they did an actual trial, which I applaud those guys. Greg Fahey, he's a super sharp cryobiologist, and he's done a lot of other really like amazing work in terms of freezing organs and then being able to thaw them and reuse them. Has come up with some of the arguably the best processes in the world for doing that. A really sharp cat. And Greg, if you look at him, is in his mid-70s. And he can still hit the ground and do like 90 push-ups, and he doesn't have the carriage of someone who's in his 70s. Like, he's walking the walk. Like, when you look at him, you're like, really? Like, I remember the first time he told me how old he was. We were at a conference in Boston, and I was flummoxed. Like, he does not appear to be. It's primarily because of his carriage and his mannerisms. They're that of someone 20 years younger, and he energetically he's great, and he's mentally on point, and you can just see it. He's aware. And so when I look at stuff like that, that's an awesome protocol. I mean, there are people that are moving the needle and doing things out there. David Sinclair's stuff on the longevity front, Dave's always pushing NMN and that kind of stuff because it makes a difference, right? And I actually, like, I have an NMN thing. Why? Because it works. I mean, there are a lot of those products that I'm just trying to scratch my own itch. I want to be healthy and be strong, and I just keep making stuff so
Well,
it's much
it isn't
easier to
long,
report if I sell it to other people
but
too.
that's right. It's like, gosh, I could, but longevity, it's not about, this transit, because I'm anti-transhumanism when it comes to controlling us and all the other weird crap that they're trying to do to it. But when it comes to living better, feeling better, having a better life as you get older, I think this is fantastic. I mean, that's what it's about.
I mean, that is what it's about, right? Is so I kind of feel, and I've said this before, like when you have a weirdo skill set like I do, that's just kind of, I think, what you're supposed to do is, right, help move things forward so that people can live in a much better way be healthier, be stronger, be sharper, because all of those things lend towards my ultimate goal of when people are biologically okay, they're kinder. And when they're kinder, that too is a wave that propagates and the world gets better. And there is unfortunately an absence very often of just baseline kindness between people. But when you put it there and you help them have the resources to get that, you know, you're doing the world a solid. So that's kind of,
I agree. Well, thank you so much. This is always absolutely fantastic to talk
about. Truly a pleasure as always. Yeah, it was great to see you.
Thank you so much, Ian.
You're welcome. See you, sir. Bye.